Peter Johnson introducing the Catholic Heritage Program, broadcasting from England, bringing you traditions, trips, and information from our Catholic past and inspiration for our Catholic future. Some of our Saxon saints have names that seem strange to us. Ethelberger, Egbert, Osberger, Ossif. But their names are well worth discovering, and they played a role not only in the evangelization of Britain, but sometimes in other parts of Europe too. One Saxon saint was a queen and an abbess, and there is a famous church in London which bears her name, and which still plays a vital role in the life of Catholics in the London of today. Joanna Bogle has been finding out about her.
Welcome to the Catholic Heritage Hour. The music that you're about to hear comes from St. Etheldreda's Church in Ely Place, London. It's the oldest Catholic church in London and goes back to the days before the Reformation. As we'll be hearing, its story is an absolutely fascinating one. But nothing about it is more intriguing than the fact that, although it is situated geographically in London and very near the city centre, about 2 minutes' walk from Chancery Lane tube station, due to a quirk of medieval law, it is technically in Cambridgeshire, part of East Anglia, right on the eastern corner of England. This is because Ely Place belongs to the Diocese of Ely. Ely is one of the great towns of the Fens, and it's associated with St. Etheldreda, sometimes known as Audrey. St. Etheldreda's church in Ely Place was originally the London home of the Bishops of Ely. The connection between Ely and Cambridgeshire, Etheldreda, London, and the whole of English and Saxon history is a fascinating one. It opens up a whole vista of a completely vanished world of Saxon England, and one that is well worth exploring. St. Etheldreda was one of the four daughters of Anna, King of East Anglia, and she lived in the 7th century, in the era of Saxon England, before the country was unified as one nation. All four daughters of King Anna were known as saints, and Etheldreda is probably the best known and the most popular of them all. She was first married to Tonber, described as an Earl of the South Gyrvr, but he died soon after the wedding, and we know very little about him. She remained a widow for 5 years and then married Egfrith of Northumbria, the son of King Oswy. This naturally meant that she became Queen of Northumbria when Egfrith succeeded to the throne in the year 670. But the marriage was never consummated, and Etheldreda made it clear to her husband that she had always wanted to enter a convent and take the veil. Finally, he gave her permission to do so, and she took the veil, being given it by Bishop Wilfrid, now Saint Wilfrid, one of the best known of the Saxon saints. The story seems strange and baffling to us. It's something we have to look at with the eye of history. Historian Kathleen Parbury, in her book Women of Grace, writes about this and says, "I think some explanation is needed here to understand her conduct, as well as the conduct of a great many other women who entered monasteries during the age known as the Anglo-Saxon period of our history. It was not a fear or disgust of sex, I do not think that in the majority of cases that feeling entered into it. At the end of the 6th century and the beginning of the 7th century, the kingdoms of the Anglo-Saxons nearly all became Christian. It was an age of great faith, and many desired to devote their lives to God, including the women, who in their enthusiasm wished to become brides of Christ. The monasteries gave them this opportunity, and also enabled them to become educated, the women as highly as the men. They learned Greek and Latin, wrote prose and poetry. No wonder some of those women of great ability felt as they did. Such were St. Etheldreda, St. Aefleth, St. Edburg of Thanet, St. Hilda of Whitby, and St. Tetter of Wimborne, to name just a few. They took the advantage offered to them to develop their talents, and nowhere but in a monastery could they do so. Quite a number did marry and entered afterwards when they became widows. History records that Etheldreda first became a nun at Coldingham, and later, and much more importantly, at Ely in the Fens, where she became abbess. St. Bede, the Venerable Bede, the greatest and first English ecclesiastical historian, writes in his Church History of England that Etheldreda led a most austere life, never wearing fine linen but only garments made from rough wool, eating only one meal a day, and frequently praying all through the night in church, after the night office, until dawn broke. Ely was a double monastery, of both men and women, of course living separately, and Etheldreda ruled over both. Her sister, Sexburga, joined her there, and after she had been abbess for 7 years, she died and was succeeded by her. We're uncertain about the actual reason for her death, but it's clear that she had a malignant growth on her neck. There are descriptions of how it was initially treated successfully, and then eventually as a tumour regrew and killed her. Etheldreda herself is on record as having said that she regarded this as a penance for having worn fine jewellery round her neck as a much younger woman. But she was evidently a woman of great holiness, and when the wooden coffin was opened many years after her death, her body was found incorrupt. Etheldreda was much loved locally as a woman of holiness who cared for the poor and who had made her convent a centre of holiness and peace. But it was also widely known that she had been born a princess and could have been a queen. Undoubtedly, a great deal of mysticism connected with the view of the monarchy was folded into the cult which rapidly grew up around her. The London home of the bishops of Ely during the medieval period was in London's Ely Place, and here the chapel dedicated to St. Etheldreda was built. Much more significantly, a great church arose around her grave in the Fens at Ely, and still stands today as Ely Cathedral, its remarkable lantern top being seen from miles away across the Fens. Here, before the Reformation, St. Etheldreda was venerated in her shrine, and here, even today, people visit in their hundreds every year to marvel at the beauty of this Cathedral of the Fens. The London home of the Bishops of Ely was a centre of very considerable importance. It was by no means merely a small chapel, but a centre of royal visits and even of political intrigue.
Thank you.
7 o'clock High Mass at St. Etheldreda's is a feature of life every Sunday. Bishop Luda of Ely built a palace here in London in the 1200s, and the standing church today at St. Etheldreda dates right back to that time. In 1531, King Henry VIII and his queen, Catherine, held a famous banquet here, which with its entertainments and tournament lasted 5 days. The palace is mentioned by Shakespeare too, in his plays Richard II and Richard III. He refers to the strawberries for which the gardens were famous, and there's still a strawberry fair here held every June. We shall be visiting it in a minute. In 1576, after the Reformation, Queen Elizabeth I forced the Anglican Bishop of Ely to rent some of the gardens and buildings to Sir Christopher Hatton, who gave his name to Hatton Garden, the famous diamond centre nearby. In the 1600s, the remains of the palace became the home of the Spanish ambassador, and Mass was once again celebrated in the chapel. When the ambassador left, it became an Anglican church and then a chapel of the church in Wales. In 1873, the Rosminian fathers bought St. Etheldreda's, and Cardinal Newman's friend from his Oxford days, Father Lockhart, had the damaged church restored. It was now back in Catholic use. Now let's go outside and see what's happening at the strawberry fair.
The love way, it's the journey, it's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest ghetto. Goodbye, Piccadilly, farewell, let's go square. It's a long, long way to Tipperary.
There's a 40s swing band in full swing here, and I'm talking to Father Kit Cunningham, parish priest of St. Etheldreda's, and you're the founder of the Strawberry Fair, aren't you, Father?
I am, yes. I started it, well, about 18 years ago. It's a genuine street fair. It's not just a sort of collection of stalls, you know, and you can hear in the background the music, and there's an entertainer, and we also have a singer like Gracie Fields. Rather good.
You've got all the old songs from the Second World War and
well,
the First World War?
We have a theme because we chose, last year we had a Victorian and Edwardian theme. This year it's the sort of 30s and 40s. So it's a bit of a roll out the barrel then.
It's something that people are obviously enormously enjoying. But the strawberry link goes right back to Shakespeare, doesn't it?
It does indeed, those words in Richard III. When I was last in home and I did these good strawberries, pray send me some. These words were said to the Bishop of Ely. So here we are in Ely Place, which is the remnants, if you like, of the palace or the property of the Bishops of Ely. So it's appropriate we have a strawberry fair.
And you've got strawberries on sale here
there
too, haven't you?
There are strawberries on sale, and this year they're very good, I think. So, as you say, the children with their painted faces, and the ladies with their strawberry cakes, they don't worry about their waistlines. And, no, it's just, yeah, it's a very nice occasion, and we hope to make some money for a charity, which is breast cancer campaign. So it should be good.
So, Rosemary, how are the strawberry sales going?
They're going very well this year. We always get off to a flying start, and we hope to finish the strawberries quite early. But we don't want anyone to miss out on them.
They certainly look lovely and fruity, great bowlfuls of them. You serve them with cream or without?
Either or you can buy the pies. If you look behind me, there's rather a lot more to go.
Oh, there are. Okay, I'm going to have a dish of strawberries, please. So how have ice cream sales been going?
Very well today. It's so beautifully sunny. Everybody's buying ice cream. we were a bit amateurish when we started. We're charging £1. We thought by the end of the day we're getting so good at it, we're going to charge £2 an ice cream.
Enjoy your strawberries at the strawberry fair?
Absolutely. We at last found some strawberries. They were very good. We've met some nice people, including a lady here from the BBC World Service.
All right. Well, I'm from Mother Angelica's Eternal Word Radio Network in America. So.
Mother Angelica's.
Yeah. So is this your first visit to the strawberry fair?
It is indeed. We were in this area last week, and from a bus we saw something about a strawberry fair from 12:30 to 5 p.m. this afternoon. So we thought we'd come along and have a look, and we've never been before, and we might come again, because we've just had some very good strawberries and cream at this little stand here on my right.
The strawberries were delicious, and we might do that same thing again next year.
It does have a medieval flavour, doesn't it?
Sort of, yes. I think
doesn't it? Look at that beautiful church up there.
Marvellous stained glass windows soaring up to the sky.
And not only stained glass windows. Back here inside the church we can also see the statues of the English martyrs who gave their lives for the Catholic faith after or during the reign of King Henry VIII. He quarrelled with the Pope in 1535 and closed Catholic churches and monasteries, making himself head of the new Church of England. It became treason to be a Catholic priest. Among the statues which line the beautiful church of St. Etheldreda here is one of St. Edmund Jennings, who was a priest martyred because of that law. Other statues are of St. John Roche and St. Margaret Ward. They were executed because together they helped a priest to escape Henry's laws. Margaret helped John, who was a Thames waterman, to change clothes for the priest, so John was arrested. The priest was able to escape, but only to be rearrested later. The stained glass shows scenes from the Old and the New Testaments, and round the walls are beautiful Stations of the Cross. But there are many other links with St. Etheldreda. She's depicted here in stained glass, holding a model of the cathedral that she founded back in Ely. There's also a relic of her here, part of her hand. Down in the crypt is a statue of St. Blaise, who was executed in about the year 300 by the Roman Emperor. He was a bishop, and he saved the life of a boy dying from a fishbone trapped in his throat. St. Etheldreda's church is famous for the blessing of St. Blaise, which is done every year on St. Blaise's feast day in February the 3rd. People with throat illnesses, all too common in London at that time of year, come to have their throats blessed, with two candles being held to each throat in the shape of a cross. St. Blaise is also the patron saint of all handicapped people. St. Etheldreda's church has a link with another saint too, St. Francis de Sales. He was a great preacher and writer, and is patron of the Guild of Catholic Writers, which meets every month at this church. The crypt is rather a baffling place. It was clearly not used as a church for much of its life, because there's evidence of a fireplace and heating arrangements that make it look as if it at one time was used as a domestic dwelling. But it's now used for meetings, conferences, and also for Holy Mass when the upper church cannot be used. St. Etheldreda stands not far from Fleet Street, which was for many years the headquarters of London's newspaper industry. That's partly why the Writers' Guild meets here, and it's also why, historically, the church and the crypt have been used for things like the launching of new books or special celebrations connected with the life and work of Catholic writers. There's also a particular but unmarked link between St. Etheldreda's church and some of the saddest days of Catholicism in England. Somewhere buried near here are the victims of the Doleful Vespers. These people were killed when Catholics gathered together to hear somebody preach to them during penal times when it was illegal for Catholics to gather at all. The gathering took place somewhere near Blackfriars. We don't know the name of the priest who was preaching, but we do know that a very large crowd of Catholics had gathered to hear him, crammed into an upstairs room. They were so jammed together and the number was so great that the floor collapsed and a large number of them were killed. Protestant commentators at the time pointed to the wrath of God as being the cause, and denounced the papists as having incurred that wrath for hearing the false words from a papish priest. But Catholics mourned their dead, and brought them to be buried secretly, somewhere near here at St. Etheldreda's. So they probably lie somewhere beneath the crypt floor. and they are honoured as unknown martyrs of the Reformation. The word doleful, today meaning gloomy, had a deeper meaning in medieval times and meant truly sorrowful. So the doleful Vespers, or tragic Vespers, was the Vespers occasion when that sad preaching took place. Today, however, this is a particularly thriving church, catering not only for a local congregation, but for many, many weekday visitors who come to lunchtime mass here, and sometimes follow it with a snack in the pantry where they can buy something cheap to eat. On Sundays, people come from far and wide to St. Etheldreda's, and not only when the Strawberry Fair is taking place in the street outside. The choir has become famous, and just recently made a recording which is being sold to raise funds for Aid to the Church in Need, the international Catholic charity which helps modern martyrs for the faith all over the world. Perhaps it's on that thought that we might end by hearing some of that lovely choral singing and thinking about a church which links us right back to the 13th century and takes us forward too to the Church of tomorrow.
That you've enjoyed this look at some of our Catholic heritage. There'll be more next time, so we hope you'll join us then. If you have any comments or snippets of history or information, do write to me, Peter Johnson, at Catholic Heritage, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio, 1500 High Road, Vandiver, that's Vandiver, Alabama, USA, 35176. Or you can email us at radio@ewtn.com.
Anima Christi, Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, heal me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Good Jesus, hear me. In your wounds, shelter me. From turning away, keep me. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. Into your presence, lead me to praise you with all your saints, forever and ever. Amen.